Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marches, they never change anything.
All right, we're trying to queue up things here this morning. Our jump off topic is 40 acres sleep retreats, 40 acres sleep retreats. And we'll let's see, okay, we're getting organized here. Okay.
Told you a little while ago, these leaders that they call leaders, this included Lena Horne, this included Dick Gregory, and this included comedians, comics, trumpet players, baseball players. Show me in the white community where a comedian is a white leader. Show me in the white community where a singer is a white leader, or a dancer or a trumpet player is a white leader. These aren't leaders. These are puppets and clowns that have been set up over the white community and or over the black community by the white community and have been made celebrities and usually say exactly what they know that the white man wants to hear. And it is an honor, actually, that they endorsed Dr. Martin Luther King and were against the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's actually an honor. Now, when you say that they also, in the same Newsweek poll magazine, I think the pollster said that he went into the Negro community and asked about the Muslims. And many Negroes whom he asked said, well, I never heard of the Muslims. Who are they? You know,
this is the rank and file we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Now, when they got down to the rank and file, this was the answers that they got. This is the equivalent to the situation in Kenya during the Mau Mau uprising, when many frightened whites in Kenya, Africa, would go among the Africans and ask them, what about the Mau Mau? And the African would say, I never heard of them. And the same white man who would ask the African this question and very naively believe what the African said, when he went to bed that night, he would lose his head. And usually the one who took his head was the same African who told him that afternoon he had never heard of the Mau Mau.
Except in the Newsweek poll, they used Negro interviewers.
You'll find that oftentimes Negroes are as much on guard around Negro interviewers, who usually represent the bourgeois element of Negroes, as they are on guard around whites. Usually Negroes know that when this bourgeois Negro walks through the door, he is not doing something that he's initiated himself, but he's involved in something in which the white man is the absolute author of and has sent him to the Negro community for some information. And when they give that Negro some information, usually they give him the information that they want the white want him to take back to the white man, because that's who he's going to take it back to.
Now learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And messed around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had number shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success.
Yes.
Understand,
yes.
God is just that way.
Yes.
He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me. And
many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Hey, Bobby, why do you like soul food?
Because it makes me happy.
That's the piece like you used to say. That's the piece like you used to say. That's the piece like you used to say. That's the piece like you used to say.
Hey,
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man. Crossed the deserts bare, man, I breathed the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texas, County, Monterey, Faraday, Santa Fe, Tallapoosa, Glen Rock, Black Rock, Little Rock, Oskaloosa, Tennessee, Tennessee, Chicopee, Spirit Lake, Grand Lake, Devil's Lake, Crater Lake, the Beach Lake. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Louisville, Nashville, Knoxville, Ombabaka, Shepherdville, Jacksonville, Waterville, Coast, Rocka, Pittsfield, Springfield, Bakersfield, Shreveport, Hackensack, Cadillac, Fond du Lac, Davenport, Idaho, Jellicoe, Argentina, Diamantina, Pasadena, Catalina, Sea, Guatemala. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Pittsburgh, Parkersburg, Gravelburg, Colorado, Ellensburg, Rexburg, Vicksburg, Eldorado, Larimore, Atmore, Havistraw, Chattanooga, Chaston, Nebraska, Alaska, Opelika, Baraboo, Waterloo, Kalamazoo, Kansas City, Sioux City, Cedar City, Dodge City, what a pity. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been everywhere.
Okay, I haven't been everywhere. I've been a lot of places, but I haven't been everywhere. But I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Okay, today I'll jump off topic. It's been a quiet week this week. Forty-acre sleep retreats. We're throwing that out there. Now, what is a 40-acre sleep retreat? Well, essentially, it's a weekend sleepover where it can be a combination of people that want to have comfort, some type of sort of comfort level for sleeping and, you know, bathroom facilities and all that. At the center of it, the weekend retreat centers around the activity of building. All right, we're building small houses and building tiny houses. We meet Friday. You'll have an agenda before you get there. Then we do, you know, some check-off things Friday evening. Then Saturday and Sunday, we build. So it's a retreat. It's a sleepover, so you can sleep. You know, if you want to camp, you can do that. Or if you want to, check in at a local motel or something like that. So, and we named it that's our working title right now, 40 Acre Sleep Retreats. For those of you who might want 40 acres of land for whatever reason, I mean, an acre. Matter of fact, if you go to our Facebook page, all right, hold it, wait a minute. Let me get there and make sure I'm guiding you directly. So if you go to our Facebook page, which is It's My House TV, and I'm going there now. Okay, It's My House TV. It's My House TV at Earth Wealth Force. But It's My House TV should get you there. It's My House TV at It's over. Yeah, all right. At the top post, I've got what equals an acre. There's an illustration there. What equals an acre? All right. 1 acre equals a football field. An acre of land is roughly the same size of a football field. 1 acre equals 43,560 square feet, and a football field is 48 square feet. Now, I don't know if they're talking about high school or professional, but anyway, roughly 48,000 square feet. So an acre is, visually, it's about the size of a football field. It's a teeny bit little smaller. Okay. It's also, and this is illustrated on our Facebook page, It's My House TV. It's also, an illustrator says, you can fit 18 average-size homes on an acre. All right. 18, and that now, matter of fact, I would say more than average-size home. You can fit 2,400 square feet, 2,400 square feet homes, not can nicely fit on an acre of land. Because I'm in the place I'm at right now, sitting right now, is like 1,700. And that's, this place, you can break it down. This place, you can break just the house portion down to this and probably about 12 tiny houses. But anyway. So you can fit 2,400 square feet of homes on an acre. That's to give you another visual. And that's the neighborhood. Both sides of the street. Let's see, or potatoes. Now let's see what it says about potatoes on this. All right. The amount of potatoes needed to make up, to make a line from one end to the other, you can put in 1,584 potatoes. You can make a whole lot of potato salad with that, or home fries or whatever, or mashed potatoes or whatever. So that gives you some idea of what you can do with an acre. And probably, the first few examples, illustration. A football field, and on that football field you can fit 2,400 foot homes on it. All right. So we'll be building... in some place we build on might have an acre or more. In some place might be in somebody's backyard. Could be less than a quarter of an acre. But during that weekend, we'll do a short field trip excursion if we're not on at least 1 acre. So you can actually see what, an acre looks like. And everybody's seen acre or seven, everybody. But just to get you, more conscious of it, particularly your building. So let's see. Now let me get back to my studio So that's what the 40-acre weekend is about. Sleepover retreat. And you know what, ideally, in a weekend, if we can have 40 of these going on in the weekend, that would be fantastic. Okay. All right, 619-768-2945. It's kind of quiet today, but let's see. Let's go to the phone lines here. Area code 309, your mic is open.
Good morning, L.A. How are you?
Good morning, Chris.
It's raining here, and I guess it's going to change to snow, but I'm
riding
out through the country. What was the question,
March.
Sir?
And I said it's March, you know, March has, it's been, I talked to somebody in Northern California yesterday, and she showed me that it was snowing the ground where she was. But that's normal in Northern California it's normal to have snow up there this time of year. It's Southern California where they had snow, and which is very rare to have it there. But where you are in Illinois, I guess you guys have long winters. Next month, the end of April, that's when things start to really warm up there?
Yeah, it changes. I mean, it actually, it's supposed to be 60 degrees Monday here. But, our winter this year, we really didn't get a winter like we would in the past. Each year it's been getting milder and milder. So this year we only snowed twice that our trucks had to go out on the road and clear it. And it normally snows twice a week. So I don't know what to say about what I'm seeing as far as but rain's good. Rain's good anytime. We do need it. That's a given. But, yeah, the weather patterns are kind of weird because, L.A. just had a blizzard. And I feel for all the people that were stuck outside in weather that none of them are used to. You know what I mean? It just does not do that. It got cold enough to freeze your pipes because there was ice everywhere.
That's cold. Right. Therefore, the pipes to break it typically takes about 2 to 3 solid days of really frigid cold. Okay, that's good. That's a nice temperature. I like 70 degree weather. 80, it can get kind of humid, but. And 60, you can put on a sweater. But 70s, in the 70s, particularly 75, perfect temperatures. At least for me. Some people like real hot.
Oh,
I'm kind of one of them.
I want to find that spot where it's that temperature, year round. At least have those spots where maybe you can travel back and forth to, because 70, 75. That, to me, is beautiful weather.
Right. Well, Chris, I'm kind of tapped out on this, and what do you got on your end?
Well, I was inspired today by a 17-year-old young man, and he might be in the call log there, area code 302.
302, if you're there, press 1. If you're there, I don't see it yet, but. I don't see him yet, but you can.
He's from Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And I'll check with him. I'll text him right now, see if he's on. He was like, "Oh, man, I'm sorry, I'm late." you know, and it was when you were doing the opening there with the Steve Harvey part, and I said, no, sir, I said, we haven't even started talking yet. I said, you have plenty of time. And so I'm thinking that he's listening. He got, you know, I've had a couple people tell me this, that some phone services actually charge a fee to listen or to get on the show.
That is true. Opinion. Now, if he, all right, let's see. Now, let me see. There used to be a function that, let me see. I don't know if I can. Well, you know what? If you can text me his phone number, I might be able to hold him. Let me see. Oh, this is what he invite the call. No, they eliminated that function. There was a function on here where I was able to call people from the studio. And that would be for free. Or if I have his email address, I can email and probably get him that way. Or let me see. Or Siri, ask him to call
1-833-646-9848.
Yeah, let's see if we can patch him in that way. I don't know if that'll work, but
still there, LA?
Okay, I accidentally booted myself off. Let's see, guest. Oh, hold on, I'm looking at
You might have him in the queue now.
All right, wait a minute, Mike. Okay, yeah, we got him. All right. Area code 302. Your mic is open. 302, your mic is open.
Hey, Marcus, can you hear me?
Oh, he just dropped off.
Okay, he'll
he was
he'll
in there and
on.
He had his hand up. Let's see, he'll call back in yet. Yeah, he used to have a function on here where we can call him. I mean, we can call guests. Now all we can do is email him. So.
Hang on, I'm getting him back on. He just asked me, could you hear me?
Okay.
Come back on. Okay. But yes, this young man is very wise. And I was very blessed to meet him today, this morning.
Thank you. Okay, my studio is refreshing. Thank you. All right, while we're waiting on him, let's see, wait a minute. Can't think of any trending topics. It was a murder trial. This guy, Murdaugh, whatever he pronounces his name, he got convicted of killing his wife and son. That's a trending topic. I haven't followed that trial that much, but the same. Let's see. Now, if he's having trouble getting in, sometimes you can do a conference call on your end or his end. Well, no, his end, your end.
Well, what we did there is he's got something he has to handle for about 10 minutes, and then he's going to come back on.
Okay.
So we'll just he'll text me when he's ready to come on, and I'll let you know that he's in the queue. And, you know, I was thinking about the title today, you know, 40 Acres and a Mule. And, you know, what would change society today is for an acre, and not necessarily a mule, but the fuel to continue to move forward in life. If every, and, you know, if we look at the 67 squares on that chessboard, and two of them have 80-something percent of the population, and then we have 43 or 47% of the land that was left over that a human being's never even lived on. You know, they don't necessarily have to go live on that, because I'm not saying move away from the city that you're used to, but what if you could take that acre of land and turn it into something that produces wealth? Now, that would give the reparations for what has happened in the past, because, you know, we have talked in the past here, reparations have been paid to others. And, but I think at the same time as this goes on, I believe the society should be able to grasp it and realize that this is, you know, a preparation with this reparation so that we have a future. And not mm-hmm. be divided, but be united.
Yeah. Well, there is such an abundance of land. I mean, you can take to tell you how much land is available. Let me see. You can, you know what, I need to get a size comparison, you know what, because matter of fact, what I'll do, I'll tell you what, I'm going to put on, I need a few minutes to, let me see. I'm going to play Solar Cabin. That gives me about 7 minutes comparison where, all right, I'm looking for a map. I'm looking for a map. One map, one visual, like, for instance, you can take, now you got a little bit over 8 billion people on the planet now. You can take everybody on the planet right now. In every nation, according to the United Nations recognizes 195, 196 countries. There are probably about 200 countries altogether de facto. So you can take all of the people on the planet with every country, and you can fit them all in Africa. Give everybody probably about 4 acres land, and you would still have millions of acres of land left over. So just imagine the entire you can entire the Western Hemisphere, nobody. All of Europe, nobody. All of Asia, nobody. You got everybody fit in Africa, and there's still a lot of room left over. So what I'm looking for, let me find this solar cabin. I'm gonna play that. I need 7 minutes because I want you guys to look at a map, because I believe you can take everybody. I don't know if it's on the planet, and fit them into Texas, and they can each have an acre or two of land. And in Texas, which has over 200 counties, Texas, once you get outside of, I went to college in Texas, up in the Panhandle, Canyon, Texas. Once you get outside of the Dallas Metroplex, San Antonio, Austin, and Houston, Texas is wide. You can drive out and not see anybody. It's wild.
You liable not even to see somebody for an hour sometimes.
Real easy, real easy in Texas. And New Mexico, Arizona, the same. So, what am I looking for? Solar cabin, where is that? Oh, you know what? Wait a minute. Let me see. I'll have to find it this way. Yeah, but my philosophy is, and a lot of this land you can pick up on the cheap.
Right.
But most people, and on top of that, surprisingly, a lot of this land that you can pick up on the cheap is striking distance. I mean, you might have a major city, more cases than you might believe, that might be 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes away. Then there are other cases where, the nearest Walmart, it might be an hour away or 2 hours away. Okay, I'm trying to. All right. Okay. Let me play. You know what? I'm gonna do a 2 minute break with Solar Sister, because I need the map to illustrate so you guys can take a look at it.
Solar Sister's story is centered around the stories of our women entrepreneurs. So many kinds of women from all backgrounds and starting points have joined the Solar Sister. Our goal is to support them to create businesses that improve their family's life and contribute to community development. One of these women is Juliet Mullen. Juliet has worked hard all her life farming, selling crops, and keeping the house for her husband and children. After decades of cooking over smoke fires and the laborious task of collecting wood, Juliet was suffering with health problems. And with no access to electricity, she also had to pay for kerosene and searchlight batteries. She found herself struggling to keep the family going and pay for her grandchildren to go to school. Her teenager granddaughter Rita was finishing primary school and dreamed of going to secondary school. In 2013, Juliet joined the Solar Sister, kicked off her clean energy business, and brought in some extra income. She also saved the money because she no longer paid for kerosene or batteries. With this small boost, she could pay school fees and take care of basic health needs. This story is important because it shows how Solar Sister is much more than just solar light. Each solar light, each clean stove, transforms the household, improving family health, children's education, women's status, and control over resources. Not to mention easing the environmental devastation that a wood stove and kerosene lamps cause. It's good for everyone. So far, we have trained and supported over 3,000 entrepreneurs like Juliet. These entrepreneurs have reached over 1 million people in Uganda, Nigeria, and Tanzania with clean energy solutions. We are always trying to improve our model and reach more people through affordable lights and stores. But the problem is huge, and there is a lot of work to do. There are still 600 million Africans living without electricity. Solar Sister was created to support African women to both improve their own economic development and to bring sustainable energy solutions to their communities. We need your help to accomplish our plans to reach 5 times as many people with clean energy solutions. Join our women driving clean energy revolution.
Okay. I'm still looking for a map. All right, instead of Texas, I'm going with Alaska. And Alaska is, let me find my studio. Let's see. Well, give me a minute to find my studio. Okay. Give me a moment. I'm trying to find my studio. I'm waiting for my phone to repopulate. Okay. In the United States, I mean, and counting. So out of the 50 states, I'm going to take Alaska. Because Texas, all right, Alaska is over twice the size of Texas. And Texas is huge. Like I say, once you get outside of those primary population centers that I just named, Dallas Metroplex, which includes Fort Worth, San Antonio. Matter of fact, Dallas, the Dallas Metroplex, Houston, and San Antonio, those three, all right, like for instance, you've heard me put this statistic out here before. They're 19,500 municipal communities in the United States. All right, in the United States, you got two flavors of communities: unincorporated communities and incorporated communities. The incorporated communities are called municipalities. They have municipal charters, and you have teeny tiny municipal charters, towns, places that have maybe 50 to 100 people, but they have a municipal charter to up to New York City. So out of the 19,500 municipalities in the United States, which is not all the towns in the United States, just the ones that have a municipal charter, all right, there's only 10 that have a population of 1 million or more people, all right? That's Houston. As a matter of fact, for me to get accurate on this, okay. 10 largest cities in the United States. I just want to make sure of this. Okay. I didn't say states. Wait a minute. I made a mistake. Okay. Cities. Okay. Now, they are, let me get a cleaned up list. All right, 10 largest cities. Man, give me a simplified list. Hold it. Give me a moment, people. Let's see. All right, here we go. Out of the 19,500 cities in the United States that have a municipal charter, the largest from 1 through 10 is New York City is 1, Los Angeles is 2, Chicago 3, and Houston, Texas is number 4, Phoenix, Philadelphia 5, 6, San Antonio 7, San Diego 8. All right. Out of the top 10 in Texas in one state, Dallas, which ranks at number 9 with over 1 million people, San Antonio, which comes in at number 7 with over 1.4 million people, and Houston, which comes in at number 4, over 2 million people. Houston, Dallas, and San Antonio, those three cities alone contain a percentage of all people living in the United States. But once you step outside those three cities, and I'm throwing in Austin, Texas in there, in Texas, Texas is why I lived in Texas for 4 years. And I've got some land in Texas right now. And it's if you want to really, now granted, you're not going to have the comfort and conveniences of a Dallas, Houston. Like, there might not be a bus line. There might not be a subway. There might not be a Walmart for 1, 2, 3 hours away. But if you can do, but if you know, you might not have a fire service. Oh, doggone it. I got to call back in. Oh, no, I don't. That's my phone saying I'm on 20%. All right. So I'm going to tell you how I roll. I don't need a local police. And there's a whole lot of people like me that think that way. Because practically 50% of the population of the United States, they live in communities that have a population of 5,000 or less people. So in a lot of those communities, you don't have a police force because the citizens of those towns, and that's over 14,000 towns in the United States. They have a volunteer, you know, we don't need a municipal fire department. We have a volunteer fire department. There's a whole lot of towns that roll that way. There's a lot of towns in the United States, the citizens, we don't need social services. So, and these places are typically where the taxes are lower. Because to live in Chicago, you're paying for those high property taxes, you're paying for those city services that are being offered. All right, you want police around the clock? Oh, you want police that have a SWAT unit? Or you want to have a police that's got this kind of department for special victims? All that costs money. But then the police that you hire in those cities, you know, hey, man, they got bills to pay too. And they want benefits. So if you live in Chicago, and a lot of people do, all right, and you can afford to pay for those services, then Chicago, New York, Boston, L.A., Houston, that's why you have those high property taxes in those municipalities. For those people who want to pay, who don't need all those services, municipal services. All right, I put me in a place when I don't need the police. I can I can handle my own disputes. I don't need a circuit court judge, a police chief solving my problems. And there are people that live in over 14,000 communities in the United States that think just like I do. Now, on the subject of reparations, because you got some people whining about, well, we didn't get our 40 acres, all right? We got 50 states in the United States, and I'm picking one, Alaska. You can take all 8 billion people in the world right now living from Dubuque, Iowa, to Timbuktu in Africa, to the outer regions of Siberia. You can take all 8 billion and counting people on the planet right now and put them in Alaska. And everybody can have at least an acre of land. You're not on over top of, that's everybody. Now, that will leave all of Canada, and Canada has a larger land mass than the United States. And the United States has a very vast land mass. And most of the United States is, it's rural. You've heard me go over those stats before. So we're talking about all of Canada. We stick everybody in Alaska, give them everybody an acre of land in Alaska, and then we got all of the entire Western Hemisphere vacant, devoid of humans. We got all of Europe, all of Australia. Man, Australia's got, I don't even think Australia has anywhere from 21 to 25 million people. Okay, stick everybody, because you got 7 continents, stick all 8 billion people into Alaska, and you've got, except for the exception of Alaska, which is a state, not a continent, you got, for all practical purposes, 7, let's say 6 complete continents completely devoid of human life. That's how much land is out here. In terms of living creatures on the planet, 99% of all life on Earth lives underwater. But that's a whole nother podcast. So, to the 40 acres and the people that are whining and complaining in 2023 that we didn't get our 40 acres and a mule, it's out here to get. It's you know what, I've named the sites. There are sites online that you can, matter of fact, okay, let's go to eBay. Let's go to eBay right now. eBay land for sale. Put that in your search engine. Okay. Land for sale on eBay. Now, anybody within the sound of my voice on this live stream, whether you be in the United States, Timbuktu, somewhere in the Serengeti in Africa, or Siberia in Russia, okay, there's land for sale. Here's what they have here on eBay. All right. Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Florida, Illinois, Michigan, Montana, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Texas. All right, this is what popped up on my screen. Okay. 40 acres. There's 40 acres of land in Nevada. They're asking, let me click on this thing. 40 acres of land in Nevada, mountain land for sale, 5 years, 0%, no credit check. You can go hunting, hiking, or drive your 4x4. It's 40 acres. Now, that's an auction. Now, what we want is, all right, we want to make this, all right, hold it. We want to buy it now price. Let's see. Okay, all right, let's dog on it. Okay, eBay, land for sale, buy it now. All right, let's see what it comes up. All right, going back to eBay. All right, it's giving me the same thing. All right, so okay, 40 acres in Wyoming. Well, on eBay you can get land two ways. You can bid on it because they have auctions on there, but they also have land on there where all right, land for sale. I wanted the buy it now price. Okay, West Helena, Arkansas. All right, let me go to eBay's homepage. Let me see if I can unravel it that way. eBay. Okay, eBay. All right, I'm going to eBay's homepage. All right, search eBay. All right, let's try it again, land for sale. All right. All right, 20 acres, 2.5 acres. All right, well, let's look at. Oh, okay. On eBay, all right, depending on the ad, all right, they have, like, I'm looking at this, 2.5 acres for sale in Arizona, $50 down, $80 a month. And you can buy it now. Let's see. What else do we have here? Arkansas. They don't see how much land this is. Wait a minute. All right, now here's something in Colorado. 5-acre park in Park County, Colorado. What you want, eBay's changed their format since the land sale I've been on. What you want to look for on eBay, because I don't like to deal, I like to sponsor auctions, but I don't like to buy via the auction process. On eBay, what you want to look for is land that you can buy now, land that you can buy right now. And let's see. Okay, 60 acres. Let me see how much, what's the terms on this. All right, 60 acres of land, Where is this located? In Pennsylvania, they're asking like $150,000 for it. So, and you can also contact the seller on here. But the point I'm making is this. And eBay is just one site. You can also go driving around in your, you know, your local rural communities. But the point I want to make is this. There is an abundance of land that you can buy out here by the acre cheap. Now, granted, you might have to develop some new life skills. You know, if you're not going to have municipal water, then do you know how to drill a well? Or do you have money to have a drill built, dug for you? How about harvesting rainwater? So you might have to pick up some new skills if you're going to go pioneer star. But the 40, and then you know what? For those of you who are grinding and complaining that you didn't get your 40 acres in the mule, okay, let's say you got 40 acres in a mule from the government or 40 acres in a lab trap from the government. Do you have the skill set to manage the land? Do you have the carpentry skills? Do you know how to chop down trees? Do you know how to, you know, dig for a well or drill for a well? Do you know how to harvest rainwater? You know, do you know how to grow food? You know, you eat meat. Well, do you know how to tend to chickens? Do you know how to hogs? You can go on down the line. But most people in our modern era, I mean, now you got plenty of people who are farmers. You got plenty of people who are gardeners. I mean, there are garden clubs and farmers all over the place. Okay, and if you don't, you can pick up these skills relatively easy. There are loads of people that can teach you, but I'm just saying the 40 acres is out there to get. So that's why we're going to do these 40-acre sleepover retreats. So you can get more of a vision on that. Okay, but like eBay is just one place to go. Let me see. 40 acres. Here's 40 acres in Utah. It's called Devil's Playground. They're asking $7,995 now you can place a bid on it or you can make an offer. All right. But then, I'm not going through all these today. But now here's one on a Nevada order. I mean, excuse me, the Nevada border. There's a 40-acre plot of land in Utah, adjacent to 640-acre Bureau of Land Management. Now, because it's got BLM on here, that does not mean Black Lives Matter. That means Bureau of Land Management near Roads and Power. And they're asking for $8,350. Now you can place place a bid, or you can make an offer. Okay, that's 40 acres. Now when you contact these people, now you need to ask them: is that $8,350? Per acre or for the whole kit and caboodle? But more than likely, it's probably for per acre. But there's land out here that you can buy for like $100 to $200 an acre. A lot of people that you see on eBay, they've probably purchased it for a lot lower than what you see advertised on eBay. And now here's something here. Vacant land for sale, Utah again. Buy land for $50 down.
Okay, but this is an acre, though. All right, let's go to this other one. I talked about this earlier. 2.5 acres of land available in Arizona, $50 down and $80 a month. Now, this has a buy-it-now price. Buy-it-now price. All right. Arizona. Now, if you give up your potato chip money for a month, you got your $50 down. If you give up cable TV, if you give up a lot of us frittle money, like your potato chip money, $50 down, $8 a month. Now, I've been doing this in my house 9 years. About 6-7 years ago, somewhere around there, I went on eBay. That solar cabin audio that I play on you all the time, I just followed Lamar Allen. I went on eBay and found a 10-acre patch of land in a particular county in Texas, and for $180 per acre, the selling price was $1,800. You know, that's $180 per acre. Total money put in was $2,000 even. That, you know, I recording fees and maybe some taxes. $2,000 for 10 acres right here on eBay. I didn't bid on it. It was a buy it now price. So now eBay is just one place like that. You know, so now if I repeated that process four more times, or no, take me out of it, you. Whoever you are, you can do the same thing. Every 90 days, you know what? Every 90 days, buy yourself 20 acres. No, excuse me, buy yourself 10 acres. Every 3 months, buy yourself, set aside or partner up with somebody that you're going to buy 10 acres. And within a year, you'll have your 40 acres. Take your potato chip money, set it aside, and within a year, you're going to have 40 acres. Now, granted, it's not going to be in San Diego or Seattle, Washington, or any densely populated city on the planet. You're not going to go to Bombay, or which is Mumbai now in India. You're not going to go to London. No, the rural areas is where it's at. If you're living on the grid, if you're living in a heavy populated, densely populated area, and you got financial problems, those problems are going to be can be more easily solved in two places, in a less densely populated area or in cyberspace, because in cyberspace it's wide open. But that's a whole, and it's unregulated in cyberspace. My dog wants to hold it. I got to go give her some water. Well, you know what? Hold it. Let me go back to my studio here. But it's out there to get. So instead of, now you can wait on the government. Because there's a whole lot of people that complain about not getting those 40 acres that they have gone and lived their life on this earth and they're now gone. Because they were waiting on the government. I'm saying you don't have to wait on the government. This is something that you can do yourself right now. My dog, she sounds like somebody's killing. She wants water, and I want to give it to her. So
And like I said, you might have to pick up a skill or two. You know, but if you know, if you're struggling to pay rent in Cleveland, Ohio right now, I would go to some rural area of Chicago, not Chicago, Ohio, and find me a patch of dirt and buy it. Anyway, Chris, what say you if you're there?
Okay, Chris could have stepped away. All right, wait a minute. Let me go take care of this dog real quick, and then I'll she doesn't say anything unless she wants something, so we'll be back in 2 minutes.
There are about 170 homeless people who live in Delaware County, and some of them may be in line for a brand new tiny home.
A nonprofit group is planning to build the state's first village of tiny houses for the homeless. RTV6's Derek Thomas has that groundbreaking story.
The 696 square foot houses would be built in this area. They would have heat and electricity, but no indoor plumbing. The tiny houses would look similar to this house in Madison, Wisconsin. That city has had a program that caters to the homeless since 2014. The houses here would have a separate community building that would be constructed where this basketball court is, that would contain bathroom and shower facilities on one side and a kitchen facility on the other.
The hardest to house are normally people who are sleeping in the hospital waiting rooms, under the bridges. We want to get them in, engage them, get them into a private individual little unit that they can get used to living in more of a societal area. And then the goal is to get them into permanent housing at the end of 12 months.
We talked to some homeless folks to see what they thought of such an arrangement.
I myself wouldn't be interested in it just because of the fact of the size of the building. And I'm at a point in my life now that I want to earn my way up. I don't want to be handed something else.
After being in an environment like a homeless shelter, I think it would be a good transition to get back into the real world. Sounds like a good thing.
It sounds like a good thing to Ruth Rector, who lives in the neighborhood where the tiny houses will be constructed.
It is very exciting because I feel so sorry for them when I see them walking down the street with everything they own on their back. You know, it makes me feel, oh my gosh, can I help this person?
There will be a hearing before the county zoning board on Thursday. If everything passes without a hitch, they hope to have people moving into the tiny houses by October 15th. In Muncie, Derek Thomas, RTV6.
Okay. There is a term it's called learned, let me get this right. Let me check, learned helplessness. Learned helplessness. Look it up online. Let me read what I've got here. Learned helplessness is a state that occurs after a person has experienced a stressful situation repeatedly. They come to believe that they are unable to control or change the situation, so they do not try even when the opportunities for change become available. This is just my commentary on this. If you give a person a set of house keys and say, go live in it, either take them off the street, they were homeless, or maybe it was a divorce or something like that. The mainstream educational system, in my opinion, is a system of learned helplessness. I'll give you, for instance, if you have an advanced degree, matter of fact, if you have a high school diploma, and there are people out here with high school diplomas, college degrees, a master's degree, a doctor's degree, that they have a sound mind, they have a healthy mind, they have no signs of mental illness, they're not on substance abusers or nothing like that, that are broken, homeless, and they live in a shelter on Skid Row. They thought they were educated. I'm saying fundamentally in Western society, the educational system is a system of learned helplessness. Now, it affects people in different ways. But if you have, I know people, if you have a master's degree in finance and you're homeless, I call that a defining moment where a person needs to take a look at their education. Now, if we take a look at the Amish community, the Mennonite, particularly the Amish, the Amish traditionally, and the Amish don't proselytize. They don't really recruit outsiders. Most Amish people that you see were born into it. Their parents were Amish. You know, Amish for academics go grades 1 through 8. Grades 1 through 8 academically. After that, they're learning the family business. They're learning commerce. They grew up, even before they graduate grade 8, they've seen their parents, their cousins, their relatives. Somebody, you know, gets married and they start a home, new homestead. They see the community or the relatives get together and build a debt-free house. No, they're not hiring outside contractors. They're not going to real estate agents. They learn the whole process from the cradle. How to buy the land, where to buy the land, how to start their own community, settlement, their own town. They're getting all that. They learn how to be useful. But what you have out here is a lot of learned helplessness. Now, my idea of reparations, and I'm not asking for any of me personally, but if somebody said to me, if you were to accept reparations, what would you want? All right. I don't want a check. Let me add some more time on this. I don't want a check. I just added some more time onto the clock, so we're good. I don't want a check. I don't want you to give me 40 acres. I'll get that on my own. What I want is, and you don't have to give me the money. I want, and this is just me, certain classes for lifelong learning. I don't know how to drill a well for water right now. I got a well, but I didn't drill it. And I would like to learn how to do that. Because, see, that's just in two ways. How can I harvest water without a drill? And what equipment do I need so I could, you know, make it a little bit easy? I would want to learn those two skills. Okay. I would like to learn how to go out into the woods. I had a great uncle, Uncle Hosey, that he did this in my family. How to go out into the woods and identify the correct trees. How to properly cut them down so I can make my own lumber. That's a life skill. I like to learn that. I would like reparations in that form. And not a sit-down classroom type thing. No, we're actually hands-on. If I would want reparations, it would be in that form of practical, hands-on, applied education. Another way is, now, I've had, and it's time for me to get him back on here. We had a Gary Tabor. I've had him on here about twice over the years. Gary offers a class out of Canada. When you come on to, he shows you how to recognize the fat of the land, how you can go out into a field or the forest and recognize edible food, edible plants. We're not talking about shooting animals or hunting or nothing like that. That's a whole nother ball of wax. But we're talking about how to recognize, because if you think about it, Mother Nature, the birds. See how much it would cost to feed all the species of birds that flock around in your backyard or front yard? It's staggering. And if you got rabbits running around, around here I got raccoons, snakes, field mice, things that are exclusive to Florida, just in my front, back, and side yard. Man, the food budget to feed one of those just for a day is staggering. If you think about it, I'm going to work on that too. How much, nature really provides. So, but because the forest is nature's grocery store. But man, once again, look up the term, learn helplessness. And when people can't pay the light bill, I go get another job, two jobs, three jobs, and now that's not helping. I would ever, if reparations was offered to me, no. I don't want a check. Like I said, don't give me 40. I know how to get my 40 acres. Teach me. I need. Train me in some applied real life skills. If you teach me how to go into the forest or the woods and identify the right trees to cut down in the whole process, and I've got a contact like that in Uganda right now. I'm working with him so he can do some training on this. I don't need to go to Home Depot for lumber or Lowe's or Menards or Lumber 84. That's a big savings to me. So that's how I would want reparations. I haven't heard now one reparations conversation yet that talks about any of the things I just talked about. Because what happens when you run out of money? Which happens to most lottery winners. Most lottery winners, when they 5 years down the road, most lottery people, and we're talking about people that have won staggering amounts of money, $10, $15, $100 million. 5 years later and you're broke? Anyway, that's why we're doing the 40-acre sleepovers. Let's see. Chris, are you there? Okay, Chris is, his light's on, but he's out and about. All right. Let's see, take another caller. 314, your mic is open.
How you doing, Ellie?
Oh, fine. How are you today?
I sent you an email with 11 nations maps in it. I don't know if you
okay,
ever seen
let that me
that
right. Wait a minute. I'm going to it right now. Oh, email. Okay, let me check my email. Okay.
But you told me at one time, out in the territories, how many black settlements were there? You said something like 1,000 of them, wasn't it?
At its peak, according to Mayor Ford of Tuskegee, Alabama, former mayor of Tuskegee, he's now in the city council, he said at its peak there were 1,400. This is nationwide for the United States. 1,400 of them, and now there's probably about 700 or 800.
1,400 settlements.
At its peak,
at its peak. And you know, on this thing about 40 acres of a mule, because we know that Sherman had no business making that offer, and there was no mules included. So that was something as an old wives' tale that was added. But they had the settlements and they had the allotments that blacks received too, right?
Right. Yep, they did.
And the allotments was generous because it wasn't based on family, it was based on individuals. So if you had a family of a husband and wife and two children, each one got 160 acres, which would equal 640 acres, Ellie.
That's a lot of land.
And case in point, Sarah Rector, who was a Creek Indian, she was not no native black AOA, the African descendant of slaves. She was a Creek Indian. And they found all on her 160 acres. And it might have been more than that because her father probably combined. And she was there.
I think that's how they put together Taft, Oklahoma as well. It was, they took those individual allotments and, you know, let's put this together and form, the original name was Twine, Oklahoma. But I think that's how Taft was.
Yeah. And Sarah Rector, her father was in some dire circumstances, and he agreed with this white oil company to do exploration, and they hit oil on her property. And I forget the output. It was pretty generous. She was doing like, what, $500 a day or something?
Materially speaking, she did very well, you know, through those oil wells.
$24,000, $25,000 a month, something like that. I know some people who's doing it right now. I know a guy that's doing it right now. Matter of fact, I got to talk to him. In Missouri, where they're extracting gas on his property, and it's paying him over $20,000 a month. But no, that was good money back then. And these old slants that blacks didn't have no land. You know, you hear everybody talk. You hear some of these voices talk about that how whites was given land and so on and so on. That's true, but blacks was given land also. We just showed the 1,400 settlements that blacks have that they turn into towns. And see, if they had 1,400 settlements, they had to do like Taft, Oklahoma did, and they combined allotments together in order to make a quantity large enough to be considered as a town. And I don't know what
Alabama. Yeah, Tuskegee is a historic black town. I didn't know that until Mayor Ford told me last week.
Yes, sir.
But it's still over 700 today, but at its peak, 1,400. And I'm looking at this map that you sent me. Thanks. The 11 Nations map. And for people online, let's see. This map shows the U.S. really has 11 separate nations with entirely different cultures. I would have to agree to that. You got the Deep South, the New France, Deep South, Greater Appalachia, and I'm glad this is included in this. I knew where Appalachia was, but this is Greater Appalachia. You had the Tidewater area, which is cut. Oh, man, okay. I knew Tidewater in Virginia, but Tidewater also involves a significant portion of North Carolina, and Delaware and parts of Maryland. You got the Midlands, Midlands is really, man, that's, I'm going to have to read up on this. Okay. You have Yankeedom going from Maine down to Boston on over to, looks like, Minnesota. You have New France. You got New France in two locations, down Louisiana, and then you also have in Canada. First Nation, which is in Canada, and that First Nation is a Native American. Then you have the Far West, which is huge, and the Left Coast, which covers a strip of California, not all of it, parts of Oregon, parts of the extreme west coast of, Washington, into British Columbia. And that is the map, 11 separate nations with entirely different cultures. I have to agree on that.
Yeah, absolutely. They are different. And for people to be asking silly questions, and you know, we're only talking about blacks for this particular conversation. Why come blacks don't come together? Well, they don't come together. For one thing, like you would like to see them in most general phrases, because they're different. They're not the same. They have
right.
No reason to be the same. Unless it's a special project or something, a sporting outlet, adventure. But they're different people. It's good that that's good to be different. It's supposed to be the same, but you got enough, like the Deep South, and New France is down there, New Orleans, that exists today. You ever go down there and get to talking to them people, and you can see the difference. Great difference.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, because culture involves, you know, different aspects, food, you know, behavior, customs, dialect, language, all that.
And look how big Greater Appalachia is. Greater Appalachia is in the boot heels of Missouri, through Tennessee, northern Texas. And when you go into those areas and get to talking to these people and observing how they celebrate, live, and travel, you do see their resemblance. That you don't see elsewhere, like in the Midlands.
You're absolutely right.
So that accounts for a lot of thinking, a lot of patterns. You know the people up there in Yankeedom, now you know there's something wrong with them. That's where a lot of your Vietnam War protests began. And with John Kerry. And what was the other lady named, the orange juice lady?
Oh, Anita Baker. Not Anita Baker. Her name, I can see her face right now.
Jane Fonda.
Anita Bryant was the one I was thinking about.
Yeah, Jane Fonda.
Okay.
Jane Fonda, John Hayden, Kerry. Who was the ended up being a U.S. senator for the state of Massachusetts? He was outspoken and a big liar about the events that went on in Vietnam, and he fueled a lot of the American dumbass dissent for Vietnam. The protests, a lot of it was based on lies. Mm-hmm. And that was a terrible thing to do. I tell you something else. That whole ordeal between him and Obama challenging each other was a bunch of bull crap, too. That was a staged event. It was staged. So Kerry was terrible, if you don't know it or not. But you're absolutely right. That land out there in the far west is potential that people can take residence and live like
now, like I did say, Pianchi, now, they more than likely, you're going to, the average person will have to pick up some new skill sets. Because once you get to those places, you have to know how to live in those places.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, you would.
You know,
it's old crazy.
If you live in Chicago, St. Louis, or someplace like that, all right, and you need an Uber, Uber's available. In a lot of those places, there is no Uber. It's just, it's plain as
you're
as
right,
simple.
Yeah,
like, and you only have... Yeah, because when I was in I was staying in Muskogee, and I wanted to get to Redbird, Oklahoma, and Redbird's like just 30 minutes away, and that man, I couldn't, for a whole week, the whole time I was there, I couldn't get, there was no bus lines, no Greyhounds, no Ubers, no Lyfts to get me from Muskogee to Redbird. It would have been quicker.
Should have got you home.
It would have been quicker. But, if you go to these places, like I say, more than likely you're going to have to pick up some skill sets and some social capital because it's a different world.
Mm-hmm.
But most people are going to do that.
Yeah, going back again to this whole crazy mess about some 40 acres in Amuse, well, the 160-acre lot is a lot more than 40 acres, eh?
Yeah, it's a whole lot more.
And that which black
man,
guy, I'll tell you something else, too.
Like I said, one lesson I learned is if you whatever you get, before you get it, who you going to have to help you with it? Because that's quite a bit. 1 acre is quite a bit to manage by yourself. So people
you got to have some enterprising innovation going
right.
on.
Yeah, if you're a New York City slicker, and that's the lifestyle you want and the environment you prefer, stay right up there and just roll with the punches.
Now, in New Netherland and Yankeedom, black landowners there, they increased their land size tremendously by sponsoring settlers to the country. Now, I don't know what the cost was to ship a family, however many, of Europeans that came. You know, that whole idea came out of a guy by the name of Oliver Cromwell. I'm not going to say it was the idea, but you can see the basics of the formation of government or what he done with King Charles the First during that period of time. Of course, his son, King Charles the Second, would come along and have him killed because he had his daddy killed, had him decapitated. Because he was going against the will of the people. But getting on to the other topic, that black landowners in Yankeedom and also New Netherlands, they received 50 acres of land for every English settlers that they sponsored to the United States. And some increased their land ownership tremendously by doing that.
Right. Right.
So when people say that we do, like I was looking at some Instagram messages, and I might try to send you that, these two women. These women is light, bright, damn near white, talking about they were descendants of slaves.
I like to see that family tree. It's possible, though.
No, that's just
there's
a bunch
been a
of
lot
bull.
Of mixing. There's been a lot of mixing over the centuries. There's been a lot of that.
Yeah, if anything, they made like Angela Davis. Angela Davis owed black people reparations. If you're going to do, you lose that analogy. The same analogy you're throwing against whites today, saying that, well, you owe reparations because of what your ancestors done to blacks. Well, look at Angela Davis' ancestors on both sides.
Yeah, you're right.
They own slaves.
There's a lot of Angela Davis's, although let's say, you know, their parents or heritage might not trace back to the Mayflower, but there's a lot of people out here, they go up their family tree, their families did own slaves. More than people would anticipate. I'll put it that way.
Well, yeah, anyway, and you can't trace.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
You can trace a lot of them to the Mayflower. You just got to know how to do it. Because it's one thing about people. They tend to stick together in when they arrive someplace new until they find their way. Then they start moving apart. Well, it's easy to trace them back. Because they was there. There's a lot of them out there like that. Claude Emerson, I bet you that he has that same situation in his family. And, you know, we've done it on
Kathy Hughes, probably.
You're right. We've done that on her and traced her family back to the 1800s before slavery. So, absolutely, yeah, it exists. But nobody wants to talk about that because what it does, it throws water on their fiery flame about reparations. It ain't gonna go no place anyway. Ain't nobody foolish enough to get involved in that. And that has no basis, no standing. Most important, it has no legality. None whatsoever.
Right.
But, L.A., I'm waiting on you to start your tiny home. You get your land out in your remote area. I don't know if you're gonna do it down there in Florida, where you are. And go ahead and have at it. While you're still young enough to enjoy it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Pianchi, I'm running like low. I'm on 5%. So I'm going to wrap it up for today. I'm not even going to play the outro music. I'm just ending for today. Everybody have a great weekend.